Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Verse 34, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I came down to finish his work. This is the purpose that I came down from heaven. Verse 38 of John chapter 6, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, we read. In John 8 and verse 29 we read. At the end, for I do always those things that please him, that please God the Father, his Abba. John 10 tells us in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. You see, that's what Yeshua the Messiah was praying for. The hour is come, Abba, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And through the cross, when Yeshua died for the sin of this world, the Abba, God the Father, was glorified. And once he is glorified, now he takes that man, God the Son, who became a man, Yeshua, and his S-man will glorify him. And surely he did so, as we know that Yeshua is right now seated at God's right hand. And so how wonderful to see the Hebrew word for glory or glorified is the word kavod. It comes from the word honor and glory. He honored God the Father. And therefore God the Father honored God the Son as man, Yeshua Jesus, by raising him from the dead and placing him at the pinnacle of the universe. And so as Yeshua continuing this amazing high priestly prayer in which he communicated with his Abba, he continued in verse 2 and he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That him, of course, is the Son. As we read, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son. Verse 2, as thou hast given him, this is thy Son, power over all flesh, that he, this is the Son of the Father, this is Yeshua, should give eternal life to as many as thou, this is God the Father, has given him. This is the Messiah Jesus. So imagine, Yeshua in his prayer, he's asking now to glorify him. And now notice that God gave the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, to have authority to give eternal life to as many whom God the Father had given to him, to as many who will become believers. Notice this expression, eternal life. Eternal life is mentioned in the Word of God many, many times. It had been said that it's mentioned in the Gospel of John some 17 times. The Hebrew word for eternal life is chayei olam. Chayei olam means a life that is endless. But you will see that it is mentioned throughout the Gospel of John, John 3:16, the famous verse that we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. John 3 and verse 36, we read right there, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, everlasting life. And we can continue on throughout the scripture, and especially in the Gospel of John, once and again this expression, eternal life is mentioned. In John chapter 6 and verse 47, we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath eternal life," everlasting life. And this is so precious because the assurance of having eternal life is very, very precious for us to know. In John 10, 28, "For I give unto them eternal life." Once and again, this expression, eternal life, chayei olam in the Hebrew, it's so precious to know that you and I were believers in the person and the work of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. We have eternal life. And he continued in this verse 2, and he said, "Father, you have given me that power over all flesh, that I will be able to give eternal life to as many as you have given me." You see, you and I are gifts from God the Father to God the Son. And once we have turned to Him by faith, we from that point on have eternal life. Chayei olam. And as Yeshua continued in his prayer, praying for himself here, and sharing through his prayer with us all the fact that we share the life that he has because we became children of God. And so in verse 3, we learn what is eternal life. My dear friend, this is very important to know. Eternal life is not only length of life, but it is a quality of life. Because in verse 3 we read, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, whom thou hast sent." This is eternal life. This is chayei olam. Chayei olam is not only length of time, but chayei olam, eternal life, is quality of life. Eternal life is a relationship that one has with a living God. Eternal life is given to the believers through the person of the Lord Jesus, who said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14 and verse 6. And so every one of us who are believers in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, have eternal life. And it's not only the length of life, it is the quality of life, because this is eternal life. To know thee, to know Abba, to know the Father, the only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, this is the only true God. There is no other God beside this God of Israel, the only true God. And that's why it is important for us to understand that here we have Yeshua on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, speaking to the Father, lifting up his eyes to heaven, and mentioning this eternal life that everyone that have trusted in him will receive. So eternal life is relationship with God. Eternal life is given to us only through the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who is the one who came from heaven to provide redemption. And it will be given to everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. Born of God. And eternal life is not a religion. It's not a religious activity, but it is a relationship with God. And everyone that wants to have eternal life, he or she must be born of the Spirit, must be one that have accepted the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Why it is only this way? Because there is no other way to be forgiven. There is no other ground upon which we can stand, sinners, before a holy God, except through the finished work of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. In fact, beloved friends, the devil, according to the scripture, we find out that the devil even believe. And yet the devil is an enemy of God. According to James chapter 2 and verse 19, James said, you believe that there is one God? You do well. The devil also believe, or demons believe, and they tremble. So to say that you believe in your head and not to believe in your heart sincerely after repenting of one's sin is not sufficient to receive eternal life. Eternal life is not a religion. Eternal life, we don't gain it because of our being a family member with some others who are born again. Eternal life is given only to true, sincere believers in Yeshua the Messiah. According to John 1 and verse 12, we read, as many as received him, one must receive the Messiah. To them he gave the authority to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. This is eternal life, John 17:3, that they might know the only true God, and Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, whom thou hast sent. You see, God predicted in days of old that in the fullness of the time, the Messiah will come. He will be born to the Virgin Miriam. He is the Emmanuel. He will be born in the city of Bethlehem, according to Micah 5. He will be a Nazarene living in Nazareth. And he will be the one that will be fulfilling all that which God has sent him, which ultimately will bring him to the shameful tree where he will be judged by God. As we read in Isaiah 53, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And so he continued in this prayer in verses 4 and 5. Look what Yeshua is praying now in anticipation. To remind you, he is not yet on the cross in John 17. He's just on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. After he finished his discourse in the upper room, the Garden of Gethsemane is right there on Mount Olives, in the lower portion of the Mountain of Olives. There many times he resorted to pray. It was there he was going now, but on the way he prays. And notice what he's praying in anticipation. In verses 4 and 5, he said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Notice these two verses are very interesting, because he says in this verse, for I have glorified thee on the earth. That was in his lifetime. He, from the time that Yeshua Jesus was born until the time that he went to the shameful tree, to the cross, in everything that Yeshua Jesus the Messiah did and spoke, and every act he have acted here in this world, he glorified God the Father on the earth. You see, many, many men in history did honor God here in this world. Many who have done so. Enoch walked with God and he was taken to heaven. Noah walked with God and God took Noah to the other side of the flood to enter and to begin a new world. Abraham honored God and pleased him. He was called a friend of God. Yitzchak, Isaac honored God. And Yaakov honored God. He was the one that God had chosen, and he called, he changed his name from Yaakov to Israel, Prince of God. Moshe honored God in his life. He was the meekest man on earth. And then you read, Aaron honored God, who was the high priest of Israel. Many honored God in this world. But all were still sinners. David honored God, but David also dishonored God, as many and all dishonor God because we all have sin nature. In fact, Paul honored God, Peter honored God, but they said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man," Peter said to the Lord. Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Everyone who served God honored God in this world, but with limitation, with much failure, because of our sin nature. You and I seek to honor God in this world, but there was one who is above all others. And his name is Yeshua, Jesus. He truly glorified God in every step he took upon the face of this earth. As I've already read in the fourth chapter of this gospel, where Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, said, "My food, my meat and my drink, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is my food. This is everything that I'm here in this world for." And because he was the sinless one who was born sin apart, he honored God from the day that he was born to the day that he died on the shameful Roman cross. That's why we can read here the word, "I've glorified thee on the earth." What a joy! Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, God, the Son, yes. But he became a man. And as man, he glorified God here upon the face of this earth. And then he said, he continued to say in verse 4, in his prayer, "I have finished the work which thou gave me to do." Beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, you see, when sin came into this world, God knew that he will have to send the Messiah, the Son of God, as man to this world. That's why we read already when sin came into this world in Genesis chapter 3, where God did say in the punishment that he gave to Adam and Eve, he did say in verse 14 and 15, of Genesis chapter 3, to the serpent, to Satan, he said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And then the Lord continued to say, "I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." And notice that the seed of the woman, namely Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, he will be bruised. You will bruise him, Satan. But he will bruise, will crush your head. "It will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is Genesis 3, verse 15, at the end of this verse. In other words, the promise of God that the Mashiach will come, who is the seed of the woman, came to fruition when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, God the Son, was born as man into this world and came to fulfill that which was promised by the Lord. "So I have finished," notice that, "the work which thou gavest me to do." What is this work? God sent the Mashiach to come to accomplish the work of redemption. And finally, it was fulfilled when the Messiah came. Now remember that in John 17, Yeshua hasn't died as yet. He has not gone to the cross as yet. But it is a prayer of anticipation, knowing that he will surely soon will be crucified and bear the sin of this world. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, we read, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, listen, to finish their transgression. To finish their transgression. You see, sin has to be paid for. Transgression must be judged. Who will finish transgression? The Messiah, the Mashiach, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah himself, who said, I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. To remind you, and again I'm going back to John chapter 4, and there in verse 34, where we do read, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, notice, and to finish his work. That's the reason why Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, came to finish the work of redemption, which God have already said this to the serpent in the Garden of Eden when sin came in Genesis chapter 3. He promised this throughout the history of the people of Israel through the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, that one will come to finish the work, and Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. In fact, when we will arrive to John chapter 19 and verse 30 there, Yeshua will say ultimately, it is finished. There when he will expire and give up the spirit, after a holy God judged him as man for the sin of this world, the work of redemption will be finished at his death, burial, and resurrection. So here in John 17, as Yeshua Jesus is praying to the Father, he said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He continued in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, remember, we said that at the end of John 16, verse 33, he did say, I have overcome the world. And now in chapter 17, Yeshua is praying to the Father, and he's telling him that he is just finished the work of redemption, and now he's asking again in anticipation that the Father will glorify him, and notice that, with his own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Well, if the Lord Jesus here is only a man and not the eternal Son of God, well, how could he say, I glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was? Well, to remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that the theme of the Gospel of John is the fact that Yeshua Jesus, the man, is more than just a man. He is the eternal Son of God. We read in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Well, in the beginning, in eternity past, he was there. And then he was with God. In other words, he was a distinct personality within the Godhead. And then we learn, and the Word was God. In other words, he was the one that was eternally with God the Father, with God the Holy Spirit, and also he is the eternal God the Son. We read that he was the Creator. Verse 3 of John 1, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made which was made. You remember Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word Elohim in Genesis 1 is a plurality. All the three persons of the Godhead were involved in creation. And then we read in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. He became a man. And the reason that God the Son became a man in the person of Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, is in order that he will finish the work which the Father had given him to do, the work of redemption, and then will be glorified and returned back to where he came from. glorify thy Son with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so in the first five verses, we learn that Yeshua is praying for himself as he speaks to God the Father, but also we learn that every true believer has a share in the life of the Messiah, the life of Christ. We have eternal life. We have Chayei Olam because we have accepted the one who died for our sins. Now, as we move along, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 6 to 12, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, continue his prayer. And there we learn that he desires that God's people will know God the Father's name. And to know the name is to know, to have an intimate relationship with God. And so we read in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou given me are of thee. You notice that? The Lord Jesus manifested the name of God, the name of God the Father, the name of Abba, God the Father, to his own people. This is very interesting because here we learn that, you remember what God said to Moshe in Exodus chapter 3, when Moshe was just about to go to lead the people of Israel to come out of Egypt.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.